Today's scripture reading is Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. It can be found on page 1079 of your pew Bible. Today we see the first church community begin to form in a powerful and exciting way that may challenge our understanding of what it means to be church. They devoted themselves to teaching, to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you remember the first job that you had? For me, it was summer in high school when I was hired to be a Hobart engineer. Now, if you're not familiar with what a Hobart engineer is, you have to know that in most restaurants, the brand of dishwasher is a Hobart. I was a restaurant dishwasher for Old Susanna's Restaurant, located on Main Street in Lancaster, New Hampshire. A good restaurant, but a struggling restaurant. What I remember is going down the alley to the back door, a screen door on a hot summer day, entering into the back of the restaurant, a place I'd never seen before, and feeling very grown up, very empowered as I put on that clean white apron and began my first day as a Hobart engineer. My older brother was the line cook. My former Little League coach was the head cook, so I felt like I was in the presence of adults. The waiters and the waitresses would come back and talk, and you'd learn all about what was going on in the front of the restaurant. And I knew that in a couple weeks, I would get my first paycheck. It was an amazing feeling, an empowering feeling. It was, you could say, I was in the honeymoon phase of my first job. And that's a phrase we use for a lot of first things, isn't it? Your first job as you enter in excited. Maybe your first love, or that first part of marriage, or that first day of school, that first class in college where everything is fresh and new. You're set on a new course, and you just don't know the possibilities that stand before you, but it all feels so good and right and wonderful. That's what we see in the beginning of Acts. It's the honeymoon phase of the church. Last week, we saw the church gathered as a small community waiting for the gift of the Spirit, not yet birthed as a church, not yet ready to go out and see the exciting things that God was going to do. Jesus, after his resurrection, had prepared them for 40 days, telling them about the kingdom of God, letting them know that they would be the ones to keep his mission going, that he would be with them, but in a new way, an empowering way. And then last week we saw the day of Pentecost come and the Spirit rest on them in such a powerful way that they were enabled to speak in other languages, the languages of the people who had gathered in Jerusalem from all the cultures around the Mediterranean. And they were able to hear about this person, Jesus, and all that he had done for them. And right after that, as people are a bit confused, as they're having their first church service out there on the street, Peter, the Apostle Peter, gives an amazing sermon. It's just powerful how he explains who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. And 3,000 people were told, believed. How exciting. What a new beginning. How energizing this honeymoon phase of the church. And it keeps going. It keeps going as they begin to gather together, which we hear in our text this morning. Listen to the description. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This was a devoted bunch. These were people ready to give their heart and soul to Jesus and to one another. And we're told they devoted themselves to four things. First of all, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. As those disciples who had been with Jesus over the course of his ministry, who had seen him resurrected from the dead and heard even more things, we would say they hung on every word they said. Just took it all in. And not just as an exercise in learning, but as a way to let the word soak into their very soul, to be transformed, to become the people that Jesus wanted them to be. And they were also devoted to fellowship. Not just a simple refreshment time after their worship, as great as that is, but to deep relationships, fellowship with one another. We would say they loved spending time with one another. They couldn't get enough of this new community. And one of the ways they did that is they devoted themselves to breaking bread. A way of saying they loved eating together, sharing meals, cooking for one another, sitting around each other's tables, and probably pretty regularly taking some bread and some wine, breaking it, pouring it in a way to remember Jesus, just like we will do in a little bit here today. Finally, we're told they were devoted body and soul to prayer, to seeking God, to praying for their needs, praying for God's mission and God's kingdom, and to listen together for God's direction, to offer themselves together at God's service. It's exciting. That's powerful. That is devotion. And when you see that, whether you see that in a church or whether you see that in an individual, when their faith comes alive and captures them heart, mind, body, and soul, it's amazing. I remember a few years ago when my friend Jason called me out of the blue, a high school friend. He lives in Arizona, and he called me and he said, "James, there are parts of my life that are falling apart, but I met some people. They're telling me about Jesus. They've invited me to church. I've started praying, and James, you won't believe the things that are happening. I pray, and I say, 'God, I need this,' and it happens. I don't pray. I just think it, and God comes through. Things are happening. I don't understand it, but it's amazing, and it's happening every day." And he would call every couple of days just to give me a report about the new things God had done in his life. And he started going to church, and he became part of a Bible study. His whole life was changed, and it was so empowering and so amazing, it affected me. My devotional level started to rise, and I thought, I want that faith like Jason has again. I want to go into that honeymoon phase. It's exciting. Exciting things were happening in his life, just like they were happening in the first church in the book of Acts. We read in verse 43 these words, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." People were being healed. Their lives were changed. Amazing things were happening. So many things they probably couldn't even stay up with it. Every time they got together and shared a meal, they'd say, "You won't believe what just happened." And that combination of that deep devotion and excitement brought them together even deeper. Listen to the description at the end of this text and all of the alls and everyone's, just the amazing description here. It says, "Everyone," or all the believers, "were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people." Think about that. An exciting community committed to taking care of one another's needs and doing it with glad and sincere hearts, meeting together every day, seeing what new things God would do. Who wouldn't want to be a part of this? I would. And clearly lots of people did, because our text ends by saying, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This is a growing church we see here, with a joyful people. Needs are being met inside and out. Doesn't it seem so perfect? Idyllic? Doesn't this seem like that's the way church is supposed to be? And if you think that, it's because it is. What we're given here at the beginning of Acts is the ideal picture of church. And I want you to think for a moment of what comes to mind when you hear that word, church. Church. What nouns come to mind? What we see here is the noun church in this early gathering is not obviously a building. They had no building. There was no church to go to, just homes and the temple and the street. This, at the beginning of this movement, church is the community. It's the people, God's people gathering together. That's the noun church. When you hear the word church, what verbs come to your mind? For this early gathering, the verbs would have been things like sharing, healing, learning, growing, loving, risking, serving. Those are the verbs of this ideal church. And this description of church, both noun and verb, has been very, very compelling over the last 2,000 years of Christian history. So much so that there are communities that look to these verses to say, we're going to do that. That's what we want church to be. One contemporary community is called the Bruderhof. It has its roots in Europe. You can hear perhaps the word brotherhood in the title. Listen to the description of those who join the Bruderhof Christian Church. We are an intentional Christian community of more than 2,700 people living in 23 settlements on 4 continents. We are a fellowship of families and singles practicing radical discipleship in the spirit of the first church in Jerusalem. We gladly renounce private property and share everything in common. Our vocation is a life of service to God, each other, and you. That's the Bruderhof. And if you go to a Bruderhof community, you will find that the members of that community may be doctors, they may be cashiers at the local 7-Eleven, but they all pool everything. Nobody owns everything. It's all in common. They share with anyone who has need. And just so you think it's not like a cult, it's open. You can visit at any point. And in case you think it might be this insular, kind of weird kind of community, they're completely service-oriented. The Bruderhof community sent people to Greece to be on the shores to welcome Syrian refugees who'd made the perilous crossing across the Mediterranean and help them get resettled. It's kind of an amazing community. And I wonder this morning, does that description describe your experience of church? Well, for me, it doesn't quite, and for you, perhaps not fully, but I wonder if it does in some way. I wonder if you can think of your experience in churches over the years and think, yeah, I experienced that in that one, and that in that one. Maybe not to such an extreme, but yes, I had a taste of that church. Because I think for so many, churches defined so differently. For many people, when they hear the word church, the noun that comes to mind is the building, the church. Or we may say church is that hour on Sunday morning we give to common worship. We're going to church. And some of the verbs that people associate with church aren't quite what we hear from this text. Sometimes we hear church is boring, church is stale, church is self-righteous. And for some people, when they hear the word church, they hear the word hurt. That churches have let them down and even hurt them. And that's the painful truth. So how do we hear a text like this that describes such an idyllic honeymoon stage of the church? I think first we have to be careful not to make this ideal into an idol. If you've ever been on a honeymoon or experienced a honeymoon experience, you know it doesn't last. For me, that job, the honeymoon phase, didn't last very long. It lasted about an hour. After about an hour, my fingertips were burning because of the heat of the plates that came through the Hobart machine. And I discovered that I would smell like the back of a restaurant for days on end. And I would discover the adult world and the things that I heard was not exactly the education in the back of that restaurant that I was hoping to have. And when I got that first paycheck, a whopping $69, it bounced at the local bank. The honeymoon didn't last, neither did that restaurant. And I wonder if that's been your experience as well, perhaps with a job or maybe even with your faith. For my friend Jason, I noticed the calls kind of stopped coming and those daily miracles became a little less common. His faith slowed down a little bit, although he continues to be a faithful Christian. And if you learn more about that Bruderhof community, what they will tell you is that life is incredibly hard. And they will say up front, it's not for everyone. They don't think every Christian is meant to live that way. It has to be a calling. And they recognize all other Christian churches. And what we will see in this church in Jerusalem is that this honeymoon phase will begin to end as well. We'll see in a couple weeks in Acts chapter 6, there's tension within that community. Tension over who gets what, despite this early honeymoon phase. So I think we need to be careful not to make it an idol, not to measure whether or not we're true Christians if we don't measure up as a church to this ideal. And yet, on the other hand, I think it's important that we hold on to it, that we strive towards it, that we call ourselves to it, that we see the church first and foremost as a community of devotion and care and love and mission, that we devote ourselves in the ways that we can to learning, to sharing, to relationships, to prayer, to knowing one another, and to serving together. It's important to remember that the honeymoon phase is great, and I hope that you've experienced that in your life of faith more than once, because it can come in waves as God blesses us with new things. But I hope that you see that the real possibilities in life begin when the honeymoon ends. That's when real marriage begins. That's when you learn really what a job is like. And you learn responsibility, self-discipline, and a job sometimes turns into a vocation. That's when my friend Jason and all of us discover that we are following God through the good times and the bad, when God feels incredibly present to us and God feels despairingly absent. That's when true faith happens. That's when true relationships deepen. That's when true church is formed. So as I thought about this text and today and our own church, I thought about the time of transition that our church is preparing for. And I think this might be a good time to ask ourselves, what is our definition of church? How do we understand that word? What are the nouns that we give to it? Do we think of it as a building or an hour on Sunday or the gathered people of God? What are the verbs that strike you? What verbs do you want to see more active here at Highland? And what's your level of devotion? What is it that you want to learn? What is it that you want your prayer life to be like as individuals and together? What kind of fellowship might God be calling this church to? And as we think about that and prepare for that, remember this: even though every honeymoon comes to an end, God always remains ready to bring new beginnings. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for this portion of Scripture that holds up before us the possibilities and potential of what it means to be church. We are here this morning because of those early Christians, their passion, their devotion, their willingness to go and follow you. God, we pray that you would stoke that devotion in us, even as we understand that life brings its ups and its downs. Be with us through it all. Help us to be your church here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.